Recording started.
Judge Conklin?
I'm present.
Ms. Fleming?
As I said she'd be just a few minutes late.
Thank you. Judge Clark?
I'm here.
Judge Gabe?
She notified us she would be absent for today's meeting.
Thank you. Judge Getty?
Here.
Judge Hernandez?
Both Judge Hernandez and David Yamasaki also notified me they'd be absent for today's meeting.
Judge Kamakarian?
Here.
Thank you. Judge Kelly?
Here.
Judge Losh? Judge Reinhardt?
He's present, but he's muted.
Reinhardt's here.
There we go.
Thank you.
Technologically challenged.
Judge Sachs?
Here.
Judge Siebert? Ms. Cameron?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Finke?
Here.
Mr. Kim?
Here.
Mr. Landry?
He also notified he'd be absent.
Thank you. Ms. Levere?
Here.
Mr. Riley? Mr. Rule?
Here.
Thank you. Mr. Seal?
Here.
Mr. Slayton?
Here.
Mr. Taniguchi? Mr. Yamasaki? And then our advisory members, Mr. Dorsey? Mr. Theodorovich?
Present.
Thank you. A liaison member, Judge Awani? Thank you.
All right. Thanks very much for that. Everybody, thanks so much for joining us for what we anticipate to be a somewhat brief but very efficient meeting. We've got about a half hour open session to cover a few topics, and then we'll move to closed session that we also anticipate to be about half an hour long. Before we can get started with that business, I would invite an approval of the minutes of our January 22nd TICBAC meeting and the February 1st and February 2nd action by email meetings. If anybody feels prepared to move to approve those minutes, I'd accept that.
Rule moves.
Moved any second?
Judge Clark to second.
Moved and seconded that the minutes listed be approved. Any opposition to the approval of the minutes? And hearing none, as the chair, I'll deem all those minutes approved unanimously. Rose, just double checking to make sure we did not receive any public comment for today's open meeting.
No, Judge, no public comment was received.
Very good, thank you. So we'll move right away to the first action item on our agenda. It's item number one. This is consideration of the allocation methodology to implement the California Court Interpreter Workforce Pilot Program. And we are pleased to welcome back Douglas Denton, who helps us through these issues quite often. Douglas, I think you're with us. I thought I saw you there.
I am.
Great. I'll hand it over to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Good afternoon, everyone. I hope you're well. The 2023 Budget Act included $6.8 million for the California Court Interpreter Workforce Pilot Program. The purpose of the pilot is to increase the number of court interpreter employees in the courts by reimbursing potential interpreters for costs associated with their training, coursework, and up to 3 examination fees to become a court interpreter. After pilot participants successfully pass the required examinations and enroll with the Judicial Council, the participating local court shall offer employment to the participant as a court interpreter employee, subject to available funding and open positions. The report in your materials summarizes how the program will be managed and recommends an allocation methodology for the $6.8 million. Under the Budget Act, the pilot must begin by July 1, 2024 and end by June 30th, 2029. So it's a 5-year pilot. The pilot must include the participation of a minimum of 4 superior courts, one of which must be Los Angeles, and up to 10 applicants wanting to be a court interpreter will be selected by the Judicial Council per superior court per year. Pilot participants must agree up front to be employed by a court as a court interpreter for at least 3 years, assuming they pass all required examinations while in the pilot and enroll with the council as a court interpreter. All superior courts will be invited to participate in the optional pilot program. The pilot will be managed by Language Access Services and the Judicial Council Center for Families, Children, and the Courts. Initial participating courts will be identified by spring 2024, and courts will be extensively involved with the selection and monitoring of participants throughout the pilot. Pilot participants will be given priority if they fall into one of the following categories: near passers, who are persons who have come close to passing the certifying exam in prior attempts; bilingual court staff or provisionally qualified interpreters; American Sign Language interpreters; and interpreters for registered languages if the court determines a need for a registered language interpreter. The application process for Cohort 1 pilot participants will begin by July 2024, and participants will be selected by December 2024. Of the $6.8 million, $150,000 is dedicated each year to administrative costs. Around $393,000 will be dedicated to each cohort every 6 months for reimbursement of training and examination costs. Three cohorts will have 2 years each to pass the required examinations, and the final cohort will have 18 months. The reimbursement maximum will allow an average of 100 pilot participants to be reimbursed an average of $7,866 per year in training and examination costs, and the actual amounts will depend on the number of pilot participants chosen each year. Judicial Council staff will directly reimburse allowable costs to pilot participants, and excess funding will carry over each year of the pilot until the final cohort year in 2029, and any unused funding at the end of the pilot will be returned to the trial court trust fund. In closing, staff recommend approval by TCBAC of the allocation methodology for the $6.8 million and implementation of the pilot program for consideration by the Budget Committee at its March meeting, and then by the Judicial Council at its May business meeting. So that concludes my presentation, Judge Conklin, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Great, Douglas, thank you very much. I note in the report, and I just want to clarify, it says that the participants are expected to work for at least 3 years, and if they leave employment prior to completing that 3 years, depending on the circumstances of the separation, they may be required to pay back the bonus, so to speak, they received for the training and licensing. Is that correct?
That's correct. Right. Yeah.
We hope really to hold on to them for at least 3 years.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. And that's language that we worked with the administration to put in the Budget Act language so that people wouldn't, as you're suggesting, take the training and then go work for medical. So they're required up front to agree that they're going to work for the courts for 3 years.
Or so else they're made aware of that. Right.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Douglas. Any other questions for Douglas about the report or the recommendation set forth on page 12?
I have a question if I could ask. I think I know the answer, but I just want to verify that this whole discussion, the pilot program, et cetera, only applies to hiring of court interpreters, not reimbursement of any funds for courts that don't have any employee interpreters, but use interpreters on a regular basis by just hiring them on a per diem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's correct. So this is just for persons that are going to become a certified court interpreter. And it's separate from the ongoing CIP monies for court interpreter expenses.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any other questions for Douglas? Doesn't appear to be. I've looked for hands. If I've missed anybody, please speak up. But otherwise, I'd invite a motion to approve the recommendation set forth at page 12 of your materials.
So moved. David Slayton.
Who was that?
David Slayton, so moved.
Thank you, David, so much. Is there a second?
I'll second it. It's Judge Kalamkarian.
Thank you. Moved and seconded that the recommendation at page 12 be approved. It's now open for any additional discussion. Any additional discussion on the recommendation? And hearing none, is there any opposition to the motion to approve the recommendation at page 12? A pause. I don't believe I've heard any opposition at all. Based upon that, as the chair, I'll deem the recommendation unanimously approved. Douglas, always good to see you. You're always efficient and effective. We appreciate that. Thanks so much for all your work.
Thank you. Be well.
You too. And now we'll turn to item two. This is a discussion of the minimum operating and emergency reserve policy that's been in place for years. Oksana, another expert, is with us. She's a senior analyst. And Oksana, I'll turn it over to you to discuss this action item.
Thank you, Judge Conklin. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. Go ahead. Thank you.
Thank you. Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Oksana Tug. I am a senior analyst with Budget Services. I'm presenting today on agenda item number two, trial court minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy found in your materials on page 23. This is a judicial council policy which directs courts to maintain an emergency fund balance or reserve of 5% of the first $10 million in expenditures, scaling down to 3% of expenditures over $50 million. The policy has been suspended by the Judicial Council in two-year increments since 2012 in response to changes in statute affecting court fund balances. These changes include establishment of the 2% state-level reserve in 2012-13 and a cap on the trial court fund balances beginning June 30th, 2014. In July 2016, a 2% state level reserve was replaced with a $10 million state level reserve in the trial court trust fund to provide emergency funding. Additionally, in 2019-20, the fund balance cap for trial courts was increased from 1% to 3% of the court's operating budget from the prior fiscal year. The most recent action taken by the Judicial Council in 2022 suspended the minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy through June 30th, 2024, while advocacy efforts continue with the administration and the legislature to increase the fund balance cap above the current 3%. The 2024-25 governor's budget includes trailer bill language to increase the fund balance cap from 3% to 5% or 100,000, whichever is greater, effective June 30th, 2024, to ensure that trial courts have adequate reserve funding to support operational needs and address emergency expenditures. The proposed budget also reduces the trial court state level emergency reserve in the TCTF from $10 million to $5 million. Today, the committee is asked to consider extending the suspension of the minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy for an additional two fiscal years until June 30th, 2026, to provide additional time to determine the impact of the proposals included in 2024-25 governor's budget on trial court operations and emergency funding levels. Given that the policy has been suspended for more than a decade, it is recommended that the committee request the funding methodology subcommittee consider if the minimum operating and emergency fund balance policy should be repealed at a future time based on recent legislative changes, including the potential changes proposed in the governor's budget. Those two recommendations are located on page 25 of the meeting materials, and that concludes our presentation. We're happy to take any questions you may have.
Oksana, thank you very much for that also effective and presentation. The recommendation set forth at page 25, folks, it's pretty straightforward, as Oksana explained. This is just extending what's currently in place. and going to FMS for consideration. We've added it to our work plan as to how, assuming and with some optimism that the 3% increases to 5% or at least remains at 3%. But I want to open it up to any questions for Oksana before I ask for a motion. Any questions on this extension of the policy? I don't hear anybody and I don't see any hands for those of you that still have your videos on. So I want to make sure there's none. And with that, I'd invite a motion to approve the recommendation. It's two bullet points set forth there at page 25.
I'll move to approve, Judge.
Great, Chad. Thanks so much. Is there a second?
Ryan, second.
All right. Thank you very much. Moved and seconded that the recommendation to continue to suspend the minimum operating and emergency fund balance, as well as refer to FMS for recommendations about final actions on this fund balance, be approved. It's now open for discussion as a motion. Any further discussion? And hearing any no further discussion, is there any opposition to the recommendation set forth at page 25? I don't see any hands. I don't hear any opposition. As the chair, I will deem this unanimously approved. Thanks so much, Oksana. Don't go anywhere because you're about to join us for the closed session. And we're about 10 minutes early for that, folks. I don't think this requires us to go to any additional sites. Just stay put. If it's okay with everybody, rather than break for 10 minutes and then go tell one, I'm seeing nods and I'm agreeing that perhaps we get right into our closed session with the hopes of completing everything we need to complete by being done early. I see no opposition to that, so I'm going to adjourn the public session and ask that the recording be stopped. And Rose, are you back with us? Uh-oh. There she is.